Morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Dalet in Zvachim. We're back on Kuf Gimel. Today's topic of discussion is going to be the Oros. It's going to be the hides of a carbon. Carbonolas burnt totally on the Mizbeach. We know we have different types of carbonolas. We have a carbonola tzibur, communal carbonola, which is the best example of that is the Olas Tamid. The daily offering that's offered once in the morning, once in the afternoon, that's a Olas tzibur. Hides of that go to the Kohanim, and then you have the Olas Yachid, but same result. In other words, the Mizbeach, the carbon is burnt on the Mizbeach in its entirety, and the hides go to the Kohanim. So that's the basic halacha. What we're going to be discussing today is, what if there's a mishap? What if something happened with the carbon? At what point in time do the Kohanim get the hides, and at what point in time do the Kohanim not get the hides? You remember we learned back in the Mishnah, when Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph, let's start at the top again, just quickly run through the Mishnah. Kosher lo zachu mizbech b'fsar lo zachu kohanim ba'ora. So the Mishnah gives us a very basic rule. In order for the Kohanim to be able to get the hides of a carbonola, so the mizbech has got to get its share. So in other words, the Kohanim basically are tied with the Mizbech. Mizbech gets a share, so the Kohanim get a share. Shenamar, olas ish, ola she'alta li'ish. It has to be an ola that worked. An ola that was effective. The ola that was effective means that it was nitar. It became permissible for the Mizbeach. Now, at what point precisely does it become permissible for the Mizbeach? Zrikas Adam, sprinkling of the blood. So it has to be a successful Zrikas Adam. It's got to be done right. If the Zrikas Adam was done correct, was achieved correctly, so then good. Kohanim are able to walk away with the or. Ola shenishkata shalol shma fa pishla asa labalim or la kohanim. So the Mishnah says, for example, you have an ola that was shechta shalol shma. So it works. Okay, the owners don't get credit for it, but it works. It goes on to the mizbeach. So alfa pishla alta labalim. Even though the owners didn't get credit for it, but nevertheless, orla kohanim, the hide's going to go to the kohen because again, the mizbeach got its share. Once the mizbeach gets its share, so then the kohanim are entitled to get their share, which is the hides of these karbanos. Echad olas ish ve'echad olas isha or osem lekohan. Now it doesn't make a difference if the owner of the karban is there a man or a woman. Why would I have thought to separate men and women on this halacha of the hides? So you're going to see the pasuk we're going to quote later on says olas ha'ish, the ola of a man. So if you were a literalist, and there are groups of sectarian Jews who were, but if you're a literalist, so then you would say, okay, so that would mean that it only has to be a carbon that comes from a man, not that of a woman. The Mishnah tells us, no, there's no difference. The carbon is owned by a man, a carbon is brought by a woman, the hide is going to go to the Kohanim. Oros kachim kalim labalim. Now, hides of kachim kalim, your shlamim, they're going to go to the owner, not to the Kohanim, they're going to go to the owner. Oros kachim kachim la Kohanim. What about the hides of a chata, senenosham? They go to the Kohanim. Kavachomer. And over here, it's based on a very simple kavachomer. Ma'im olo shalo zachu b'fsara zachu ba'ora, kachikam shesha zachu b'fsara, eino din shizka ba'ora. So we find by the ola, so the Kohanim get the hides. They don't get the meat, but they get the hides. In a scenario where they get the meat, i.e. chatas and asham, you don't think they're going to get the hides? Of course they will. And what are you going to introduce over here? The aspect of the mizbeach? Leave the mizbeach out of the discussion because mizbeach never get the or. So in other words, we're just looking at it from the perspective of the Kohanim. So are they going to get the hide of a chatas and asham? The answer, of course they are. If they're getting the hides by an ola, of course they're going to get the hides by a chatas and by an asham. Good.
Is there any Quran that the hide is burned?
No.
Only you and Yom Kippur ones and so on?
The Parma Nisrafim, the Chatos Panemios. Chatos Panemios, I think they are. What about, no, but I'm asking about Chatos Panemios. Even Chatos Panemios, no? I don't know. But the...
No uplink hide is ever burned.
This year's never.
Never. Okay, never sounds like never. Just
wait, don't say never.
It doesn't say never. It's not given to Kohanim. This guy we mentioned just now.
Right.
If it doesn't get to Kohanim, what's going to be done?
Well, you see, Dr. Zagi's question is right on the mark because we're going to find, in other words, with all respect to whoever says never, in other words, there are going to be scenarios where the Kohanim are not going to get the hides, and so I imagine they're going to get burnt. The hides are going to get burnt. Like,
nobody can use them.
Correct. It's never a discussion, in other words, it's never a discussion of Let's put it this way. If the Kohanim didn't get the hides, the alternative would be it'd go on the Mizbech with the meat. Okay. Bones go on the Mizbech. All right.
The Rashi and the Mizbech or
the Chol Mokom. I understand, right,
right. They don't just throw it away. I mean, like in the
no, day. Right. They wouldn't just discard it. Correct. Absolutely correct. Correct.
Yeah, but that's
correct. Tana Rabbanan, let's start off now with our Braisa. So I told you the pasuk that discusses this aspect of the carbon, that the hide of a carbon goes to the Kohan, and the pasuk says Olas Ish, that when it comes to Olas Ish, the ol of a man. So to paraphrase, because I don't have a chumash in front of me, so the hides go to the Kohanim. Okay. What we will be spending a good part of today's daf dealing with is the Torah's formulation of Olas Ish. The Torah, when describing that the Ola of the hide of the animals are going to go to the Kohanim, it says Olas Ish. So we already know, because the Mishnah taught us, and we're going to see later on, we already know that it's not excluding women. Meaning the Ola of a woman, also the hides are going to go to the Kohanim. So we know that's not going to be the result. But the Torah is obviously trying to get to something by saying Olas Ish. So this will be from basically here to the bottom of the Amud, no more, to the top of the next Amud. Okay, long discussion of the Gemara. What's the Torah driving at when it says Olas Ish? So we start off with a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan. Olas Ish Prat Olas Hektesh Div Rabbi Yehuda. So Prat Olas Hektesh can be the Ola of Hektesh, the Ola of Hektesh. Think about it for a moment. What does that mean? Hektesh is bringing an Ola? Okay, think about it. We will explain. I'll explain better what that means in just a moment, just to hear the idea. Ola's Hektesh. Hektesh is bringing carbon. When is Hektesh bringing a carbon Ola? Okay. We're not discussing. All right, we'll come back. I'll discuss. So, Ola's Hektesh, Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Prat Ola's Gerim. So he says, no, you know what it's coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude the Ola of a ger, of a convert. Which sounds like, and the Gemara later on will recoil at the suggestion, it sounds like, well, a ger is not an ish. So therefore, if a ger brings a karban, and it has a hide, so the hide are not going to go to the Kohanim. Right, and it just, even the suggestion, which what the Gemara is doing right now, that's exactly what the Gemara is doing right now. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, well, what is that? You're telling me that convert's not niche?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bizarre suggestion, but that will put on hold, and we'll come back to that later on.
That's what was the Mishnah's suggestion?
Well, no, but the Mishnah didn't. Uh-huh. The Gemara is assuming that it's driving at excluding somebody. Uh-huh. So, no, in other words, an Ola that didn't work. Okay. All right. So let's start off like this. My Prat Ola's Hektesh. So what is that? What is that opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? If it's an Ola of Hektesh, so those hides don't go to the Kohanim. So what's going on? So I'm Rabbi Chiya Yosef Prat Ola Haba Min HaMasaros. Oh. So we're talking about, so they're going to be now 1, 2, 3 explanations of what that actually means, Olas Hektesh. So we start off with explanation number one. This is the explanation of Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef. So he says, you know what it's talking about? Ola haba min amasaros. Ola that comes over from leftovers. Residuals. Okay, what is that? Look at Rashi. Rashi is the third line down in the Gemara. Rashi explains, min amasaros to chol hashamo shal raya, could go into muras hashem v'asham shemesu ba'alav, v'shekipu ba'alav ba'acher, de karmelan yiru v'yimkaru v'yimplu, de mehem linedava. Okay. An asham that can't be used, for example, in exchange for a carbon asham, for example, the asham that was lost and replaced and then later found, for example, the offspring of a carbon asham, but that would have been a silly example. Carbon asham comes from a male, so that example doesn't work. An asham whose owner died. Right, Rashi gives that example. In other words, so in all these scenarios where you have a carbon ashram that can't be used, now, by a carbon chatas that can't be used, what happens to the carbon chatas? It dies. Halach l'moshe me'sinai, such a carbon chatas dies. You have to leave it to die. What if you have a parallel carbon ashram where I can't use the carbon ashram? What happens to such a carbon? So yiru, you let it graze. develop a blemish, sell it, and what happens now to the proceeds? Proceeds are then put into a chest in the Beis HaMikdash called Nedava. And then that, with that money, they go and they buy an Ola. So this Ola is really a residual of a Karban Asham that was not used for the reasons that I just explained. Rashi goes on to explain, V'hu Olas, Keitz HaMizbeach. This is what we always refer to as the Ola of the Keitz HaMizbeach. Keitz HaMizbeach, slow season in the Beis HaMikdash, where not a lot of activity was going on, so they would just bring up this Ola. Dalav Olas Ishu, Ela Nidva Siborhi, Unesachem Mishal Sibor, Ve'ein Baal of Somech Aleha, Ve'ein Ushokta Kedidnam B'tzmura. So when we get to Masechta Tzmura, we're going to learn this is an ownerless carbon Ola. Here's a carbon Ola that does not have an owner. Nobody, as far as its Nesachim, right, the wine and the oil, that comes from public money. As far as smicha, nobody does smicha. So here you have an ownerless Ola. Good. That's pshat number one. When we say Olas Hekdesh, we're talking about such a carbon Ola, where this Ola doesn't have an owner to it. Consequently, the Oras don't go to the Kahanim. Okay, we're going to see very often, you're going to, the way you're going to trap me this morning is then you're going to keep asking me, which is a fair question. So what happens to these hides? I don't know. Right, all these times that we're going to say now, the hides don't go to the Kohanim.
They sell it. They sell money for sell it and get money back. No, okay. But isn't it a carbon sibor? It's not called a carbon sibor, though.
Huh?
It's not a carbon sibor.
It's not a carbon sibor.
Right.
It's not a carbon sibor. It's a limbo. It's a limbo carbon. It's not. Its owner is no longer the owner. Right. It's confusing because the nesachim are purchased by public money.
Right.
Okay, that's pshat number one.
The hides that go to the Kohanim, they have any limitation?
No, it's theirs. Totally theirs. Part. Yeah, you sell it. Meet mekadosh a woman with it. Minus kahuna. It's gifts to the Kohanim. So pralo olah ba min hamasaros hanich laman damar masaros lenidvas tibar asle elaman damar masaros lenidvas yachid asle ma'ikal meimar. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's if you're of the position that Mosaros, that these residual carbon olas are Nidva Sibor. That's basically considered public Nidava. However, however, there is an opinion, this is a machlokus in the Gemara and Temura. Rashi cites it. The Gemara and Temura, Daf Chaf and Temura, we'll get to it sometime from now. But there is an opinion out there that says that what do you do with these animals? Or what do you do with the monies? You sell it to individuals, and individuals bring it. So Ma'ikal Meimer Kedama Rava Ha'ola Ola Rishona Hachanami Ha'ola Ola Rishona. So the Gemara says that we have a drasha. The drasha basically works like this: when we bring your carbon Ola for the morning, it says Ha'ola, which means that it is the first carbon that's brought every day, right? And as we already learned, we spent a couple of Gemaras learning this. The Olas Tamishol Shachar has to be the first carbon brought every day. No other carbon can precede it. Okay? Aside from the rule of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, we have this drasha as well that teaches that it has to be the first carbon of every day. And I do remember Tosos discusses, why do I need both the Tadir rule and this drasha? But right now, that's not the important part. The important part for now is that Ha'ola tells us that it has to be the original carbon Ola every day. Here, by our special halacha of Oros Ha'ola, the hides of an Ola, it has to be originally an Ola. Since these Karbanos are not originally Olas, what are they? The residuals of a Karban Asham. Ashams that were not needed and basically turned into an Ola, so those hides don't go to the Kohanim. Alright, but that's okay, fine. That just helps us get through pshat number one. So we have a Braisa, let's organize. We have a Braisa that quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. When the Pasuk says that it's Olas Ish, the Ola of a man, what is that excluding? So Rabbi Yehuda says it's excluding Olas Hekdesh. Pshat number one in Rabbi Yehuda, what does he mean by Olas Hekdesh? He means an Asham that turned into a carbon Ola because the Asham was not needed. Not right, not the animal itself, but its residual proceeds. So it goes to Kohanim. Chatas and Asham, hides of Chatas and Asham go to Kohanim.
So it doesn't make a difference?
So it doesn't make, no, what do you mean? So now if it turns into an Ola, the hides don't go to the Kohanim. Right? Two, second shot. Rabbi Aibo Amar Rabbi Yanai Prat Lamatvis Ola Lebedek Abayis. Okay. Complex, but it's good though. In other words, it makes a tremendous amount of sense. I have a carbon. Okay. Let me take one step backwards. We know that in the world of Kedusha, there's something called Kedusha Saguf and Kedusha Damin. Kedusha Saguf means the item itself is designated and earmarked for the Mizbeach. So I have an animal that's not a blemished animal, it's a perfect animal. I imbue it with Kedusha, Kedusha Saguf. It's now going to go to the Mizbeach. So its destination is the Mizbeach. Its Kedusha is what we would say in English, intrinsic. It's an intrinsic Kedusha. I can't just simply say, you know what, let me redeem this animal. No, it's not redeemable. It is too late. It is such Kedusha. The Kedusha is so imbued in the animal, it's going to go to the Mizbech, period, end of that discussion. And then there's, of course, my pencil. I could be Makdish my pencil. It's a nice pencil, right? And it has value, and I can be Makdish it. Now, this is Kedusha's Damim. Kedusha's Bedek HaBayis. It's not going to the Mizbech. It's not going to be burnt on the Mizbech. The only reason why I give it any Kedusha is so that it can provide revenue for the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash has an operating budget. Beis HaMikdash needs revenue. So I can be Makdish this. This will go to the Beis HaMikdash. And they'll just simply turn around and sell it to whoever wants to buy it. And obviously its whole purpose is only to be redeemed. Okay. What if I have an animal which is a carbon, and then I say on top of that, I'd like to imbue this animal with Kedusha's Damim. Okay. So in other words, it's a carbon already, and then on top of that, I'd like to layer on another layer of Kedusha, Kedusha's Damim.
But it's not yours to do that. If it's a korban and you already dedicated it to the becoming kashrut.
Okay, so what we're going to say is that's not 100% correct what you're saying. Right?
Why can't he just go directly to Bedek HaBayis? Why do you have to say it first?
He wanted.
No, I'm saying, why do you have to say
the Kohanim would have to agree to where the
parts go. Should have Bedek HaBayis. Not to for Kolben.
This guy took two
why
steps.
Why did it straight?
This guy took two steps.
Why do you have to be
He was first Makdish his animals a carbon.
Why?
Why?
You want why Makdish the
more?
HaBayis?
Huh?
Why doesn't he do it straight to the Bedek
HaBayis?
He could. Okay. Let's just deal with the case at hand. So, Rabbi Aibam, Rabbi Yanai, Pratla Matfis, Ola Lebedek HaBayis. Now, there is a very simple discussion had, and again, this is not for us right now, but we need to know it because the Gemara is going to be dealing with it. And this is, again, this is another Temura discussion. Right? In the Gemara and Temura, we have a lot of these types of discussions. I have a carbon, and it's invested now with Kedusha Saguf, and I try to layer on top of that Kedusha's Damim. Does that take, pretty much what Ben just asked me, can I layer another Kedusha on it already? So, subject to a machlokus in the Gemara and Temura. So the Gemara here discusses. So the two opinions are basically yes and no. It really comes out to be that simple. But even the no position is midaraisa no, but even midarabanan, you have to redeem it. Okay. But by the way, that means, just making sure that we're clear about this, because this is a little confusing. That means that it has kedusha as a goof, so that means the animal itself is dedicated to the mizbeach, destination to the mizbeach. But it means, however, that now that I've imbued it with kedushas damim, that before I send it to the mizbeach, I have to redeem the kedushas damim, meaning the animal has a value to it, and in order before I send it to the mizbeach, I have to redeem its value. Right? It's basically another way of me donating money. It's a strange way for me to donate money, but let's get past the strangeness of it. The issue at hand right now is, do I have to actually redeem it? So, velomi by lamandamar kachi bedekabai tafsi midaraisa. Now, one opinion in the Gemara and Temura over there is that it's toface. It takes. And not only does it take, but it takes minat Torah. So then, you can totally understand. Meaning, now let's put the picture together. So what's the point that we're making? That those hides of such an animal are not going to go to the Kohanim. Now think about it, by the way. When Rabbi Yehuda made the statement, Olas Ish is coming to exclude what? Olas Hekdesh. Now you understand what does Olas Hekdesh means. It means a carbon where the owner on top of it layered another Kedusha, Kedusha's Damim. The hides don't go to the Kohanim. Okay? Again, what happens to those hides? I guess it stays with the Bedek HaBayis and they get to keep it. But the hides, those hides don't go to the Kohanim. Ela filaman damelo tafsei. But however, the Gemara in Temura does have an opinion that says it doesn't take. Meaning your Kedusha's Damim doesn't take. So according to that opinion, this does. It seems that this wouldn't work. The Gemara says no. Even according to that opinion, it's still the pshat here would work. Why? Hani mili basar. Because even that opinion in Temura is only on the meat. Your Kedusha's Damim doesn't affect the meat. And it's mistaber, it's logical. Because where's that meat going? That meat's going on to the Mizbeach. How can I layer another level of Kedusha on something which is going to go to the Mizbeach? But the hides are never earmarked for the Mizbeach. So they will be imbued with that Kedusha's Damim, with that Kedusha's Bedek HaBayis. Hani milibasar aval or tafis? Fine. And then if that's all true, which the Gemara says it is, so then we have another pshat in what Rav Yehuda meant when Rav Yehuda said prat le olas hektesh. It's easy. He says, I'm going to put another level of Kedusha on it. Okay. V'china marav Nachman amarav abaravua prat olas haba min amasaros. And Rav Nachman agrees with the first pshat, the Rabbi Chiya pshat, that it is coming to include an asham that was turned into an ola. Amalei Rav Hamunu l'Rav Nachman k'man k'Rabbi Yehuda ha-hadabe. So the Gemara says, well, but I have a small problem with that because Rabbi Yehuda was chozer. Rabbi Yehuda recanted from his position. What is going on over here? D'tanya. The Gemara explains. Shishi l'nedava la'ola haba min amasaros. Shelo yeh kohanim zachayim ba'ora div Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. There were 13 pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash. You go into the Beis HaMikdash, and there were 13 chests, box, where you can donate money and put it in those chests. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi quotes, these are really Mishnayos from Masech Tashkal. Of the 13, six of them basically had the same label, Nedava. Right? Rashi actually goes through the other seven and what the other seven were earmarked for. Again, we're not going to do that right now. But six of them, the last six of them were all set on it, Nedava. Nedava, Nedava, Nedava. Which means, Ola Haba Min Amasaros. Where if I had any residual monies, like from my carbon asham, which I couldn't use, and therefore I let it develop a blemish, and then I sold it, those residual monies, I then go to the Beis HaMikdash, and I place it in one of the last six pushkas that said the word Nedava. Shaloyu Kohanim Zachayim Ba'ara. Now Rabbi Yehuda said that the Kohanim don't get those hides. They don't. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amalo Rabbi Nechemya. Ve'amri la Rabbi Shimon. So either Rabbi Nechemya or Rabbi Shimon, not sure who, but one of them says back to Rabbi Yehuda, Im kein bitla mijasha shal Yehoyada ha-kohen. No, that's not true. The hides of such an animal do go to the Kohanim. And I know based on a medrash of Yehoyada ha-kohen, D'tanya, Zem medrash darash Yehoyada ha-kohen. This is a drasha that was darshaned by Yehoyada Cohen. Don't know exactly, but I'm venturing to say that he lived sometime during Beit Sheni. The pasuk goes like this: Asham hu Asham Asham la Hashem. It is an Asham 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 la Hashem. Now, the pasuk in of itself is confusing. A carbon Asham goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Where does the carbon Asham go? Carbon Asham goes to the Kohanim. What does the pasuk mean when it says Asham Asham la Hashem? The carbon Asham goes to Hashem. So the pasuk in itself begs for a pshat. So along comes Yehoyada HaKohen and he says, "Here, I'll give you a pshat. Kol sheba mishum chatos mishum Asham yilakech ba olas habasar l'shem ora l'kohanim." You do have a carbon Asham that does go to Hashem. Where the Asham is not needed anymore, for all the reasons that we discussed in the beginning of this morning. And now the carbon asham has to be, let it graze, develop a blemish, sell it, and the proceeds go for the purchase of a carbon ola. This ola now is an asham turned into an ola. That's how an asham can become an ola. And then Yehoyada HaKohen goes on to Darshan. So Habasar Lashem. So now shot in the pasuk, Hashem Hashem LaHashem. The meat goes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ora LaKohanim, and the hides go to the Kohanim. Okay. If all this is correct, and as Rashi points out, Rav Yehuda doesn't respond, meaning Rav Yehuda listens, and apparently he agrees. Apparently he concedes to the point. So if that's true, so then we're trying to say Pshat and Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, all this is just our attempt to give Pshat and Rabbi Yehuda. So if Rabbi Yehuda agrees that such a karban, Asham turned into an Ola, the hides go to the Kohanim, so obviously this is not a good Pshat for Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei Elamar B'mai Mukimla. Okay, so do you have a Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda? Amalei Mukimnalei B'maktish Nechasav Uched Rabbi Yehoshua. So this is now the third pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. And the pshat goes like this. We deal with a case where a person decides, you know what? My material items in this world, I don't need them. It's not for me. Beis HaMikdash needs them much more than I do. I'll subsist on, I don't know. right? But I don't need my material possessions. So what does this guy do? So he's maktish nechasav. He says, everything I own, I'm giving over to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's all belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Uchid Rav Yehoshua now follow, because we're going to follow within the position Rav Yehoshua did not. Hamaktish nechasav, a person's maktish is nechasav. Now, I know the question that, you know, the practical questions that we like to deal with is, so what is he going to live on? Right, he's giving all of his material possessions, all of his assets to the Beis HaMikdash. All right, it's a question. But from the halachic standpoint, what we want to know is, without specifying, where does everything go? So the car and the house obviously are not going to be right. They're going to go to Bedek HaBayis. That's the no-brainer. that's the easy part. What about the animals in his backyard? What happens to all the animals in his backyard? They're now going to the Beis HaMikdash. Did none amaktish nechasav ayu b'hem behemos aruilos legabe mizbech? And he does have animals that are fit for the mizbech. Zecharu nekevos, and he has male and female animals. Rebbe Elazar omer zecharim yimkru l'tzorchei olos. So Rebbe Elazar says that, well, the male animals you'll sell, and the proceeds of that sale will go to Karban Olah. Nekevos yimkru l'tzorchei zivchei shlamim, and the female animals will be sold for zivchei shlamim. Udameim yiplu im shar nechasim lebedek abayis. And as far as the proceeds of that sale, that will go to bedek abayis. Meaning, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which is not our focus point, is that he wants all money to go to bedek abayis. But at the same time, we'd also want the animals to go to the mizbeach. So how do I do that? It's very simple. The Beis HaMikdash will sell the animals. Right, the male animals will sell for a karban olah, the female animals will sell for a shlamim, and the proceeds now will go towards his asset. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, the assumption the Beis HaMikdash gets to make is that all the money was for the operating budget of the Beis HaMikdash. And so therefore, they can assume, even though there are animals there, that those animals are also part of Bedek HaBayis. Okay. Our focus, however, will be on the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua Amar Zecharim Atzmam Yikruvu Olos. Now the Zecharim themselves are going to go as Karban Olas. Okay, now all this machlokus is because he didn't specify. And so what we are trying to gather is, what was the intent of the Maktish? Rabbi Yehoshua says, if I have an animal, you don't think I'd want the animal to go on the Mizbeach? The highest purpose that an animal can exist, can experience, is to be actually shechted on the Mizbeach. Now, what about the female animals? So interesting. They're not going to turn into Karban Shlamim. Why not? So why not?
Who's going to get the meat?
Right. Because this guy clearly doesn't want to benefit from his possessions. Had the females become Shlamim, so then he'd be sitting in your Shlamim eating the meat, that's clearly not intent of the giver. Not the intent of the giver. Is that he's going to be matish it only so that he can benefit from it. So what happens to the females? Unikevos yimkur letzarchei shlamim v'yavi b'demeim olos. So they're sold. Proceeds of that sale go for carbon ola. Ushanachasim yiplu lebedek abayis. Now the house and the car, so they go to bedek abayis. The afilu le Rabbi Yoshua damar adam cholek hekdesho, and even according to Rabbi Yoshua that says that adam cholek hekdesho, that a man can separate his hekdesh hanimi lebasar aval or tafis, but as far as the hides are concerned, they will still have the kedusha bedek abayis. Consequently, the hides don't go to the kohanim. All right. We have, that's it, and that gets us through Rabbi Yehuda, and that was a little tricky. Okay, but just quickly to summarize, we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Start one step backwards. One step back from that. We have the pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, Olas Ish, any hide of a man goes to the Kohanim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Olas Ish, to exclude Olas Hekdesh. And what is Olas Hekdesh talking about? So we have now in the Gemara three pshatim. Pshat number one is an asham that came from a carbon ola, right? Because I didn't need the asham, and therefore I turned the asham into an ola through money, of course. But the asham turned into an ola. The hide of that animal doesn't go. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two is Rabbi Aibu, who says where I layered kedushas damim on top of the kedushas aguf, the hides don't go to the kohanim. And pshat number three, we're talking about a person who is makdish all of his nechasim, all of his properties, even the animals that end up going to the Mizbeach, but the hides are not going to the Kohanim. That is all three possibilities of what it means when it says Olas Ish versus Olas Hekdesh. Okay, now we're up to opinion number two. Opinion number two is the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Olas Ish is coming to exclude a convert. And now here's where the Gemara recoils. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Prat Lo Olas Gerim, Amar Le Rabbi Simai Bar Chikai, Le Ravina Atu Ger, Lav Ishu? What? A convert is not a man? What does that mean? So, Amar Le Prat Le Ger, Shem Meis Ve'ein Lo Yershem. Oh, no, the Gemara says that's totally untenable. The idea that a Ger is not Ish, that's not true. Of course he is, and of course if he brought a carbonola, the hides would go to the Kohanim. What we mean to say is that we're talking about the convert dies, and usually there's the Yoresh. Usually someone picks it up from there. However, if somebody who converts becomes a born again, he doesn't have family, he doesn't have any legal family. So what happens to his property? His property is in limbo. And so if he had a carbon, the carbon would still be offered, but it doesn't have somebody it attaches itself to. So that is the exclusion of prat le, right, prat le ger. Meaning that carbon that was once owned by a ger, but the ger dies, and now it's a totally detached carbon. It's an ownerless carbon. Kohanim don't get the hides.
Isn't it possible? You could have the same thing with the person's
not here. No. The Gemara says... It's impossible. Impossible for a Jew to not have next to kin. Because, what do you mean? So don't go down, but go up then. And if you go up and there's no one there, so go across. There's going to be next of kin. Convert, however, it's possible. Because, in other words, his only Yerusha is going to go to his children, but if he doesn't have children, that's it. Now, there's nowhere else to go. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, four lines from the bottom of the page. Olas Ish Ein Li Ela Olas Ish Olas Gerim Nashem Va'avadim Inayim. Good. This I told you earlier. Meaning, we're not going to exclude the Ola of a woman. How do I know that? Tama Lamar or Ha Ola. Because the Pasuk says the hide of an Ola, a redundancy in the Pasuk, it's a ribui. So Imkin Ma Tama Lamar Olas Ish Ola Sha'alta Li Ish. Okay, so the Olas Ish tells us that it has to be an Ola attributable to a person. If the Ola becomes disqualified, so then it doesn't go to the hides, don't go to the Kohanim. Okay, so what about a carbon Ola That was Shechta Shelo Lishma. Shechta Shelo Lishma, so we know, first Mishnah in the Masechta, so it doesn't get credited for the owner. Maybe such a hide of such a carbon shouldn't go to the Kohanim. Lo ye Kohanim Zachayim Ba'ara, Tamalomar, or Ha'ola, Mikoma Kom, or Ha'ola. So it is the hide of an Ola. So in other words, it's a little bit of a rub. On one hand, it has to be attributable to man. On the other hand, the Torah does say it just simply has to be Or Ha'olah. So here's a case study where it's a little bit of both. If you shech the Shelo Lishma, it's still a carbon Olah, just doesn't get credit to that particular owner. Ein li ala, I'm sorry, Or Ha'olah. Ein li ala Or Ha'olah, Oros Kache Kache Minayin. How about the hides of a carbon Chatas? How about the hides of a carbon asham? Tamalama or haola asher he kriv yalchus animar be'av kachim kalev. How about the hides of shlamim? So tamalama ola ma ola kachim kachim av kol kachim kachim. So according to the Tanakama, it's a drasha. How do I know that the hides of kachim kalev don't go to the kohanim? Drasha, the Torah says or haola. It has to be something similar to ola. It's like the Gemara doesn't use this terminology. It's ke'ena prat. I mean, the Torah specifies ola, anything similar to an ola, kachim kachim. Accident. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, or ha'ola, ein li ela ha'ola, oros kachim kachim minayim v'dinu. The result is going to be the same. Rabbi Shmuel is going to agree with the Tanakama of this Braisa. It's just that the way he's going to get there is not through a drasha, but through a simple kavachomer. Uma ola shelo zachu b'vsara zachu ba'ora kachi kasha shelo zachu b'vsara ein odin shelo zachu ba'ora. Now this kavachomer should sound very familiar. You should be saying to yourself right now, didn't the Mishnah say this? And the answer is, yeah, the Mishnah said this. So now we know that the Mishnah is subscribing to this kavachomer Rabbi Shmuel. And it makes sense, by the way, that Rabbi Shmuel is the one giving the kavachomer. I mean, he is the Yud Gimel Midos Rabbi Shmuel. Now, on this kavachomer, can we say, well, the mizbech proves otherwise? Why should zachar bebasar velo zachar baor? Because the mizbech gets the meat, but the mizbech doesn't get the hide. So the Gemara says mizbech doesn't play a factor in the kavachomer. Mal mizbech shekain lo zachar bemixas. Tamar bekohanim she zachar bemixas. Over zachar bemixas zachar bekule. No, because I'm going to borrow the language of the Mishnah, even though the Rabbi Shmuel's point over here in the Brice is essentially the same. The Mizbeach never gets the hide. Never. The hides never go on the Mizbeach. Right? That's the never that we were talking about earlier. The hides never go on the Mizbeach. So since the hides never go on the Mizbeach, so you can't use the Mizbeach as a pircha, as a question on the Kavachomer. Okay? Rabbi Omer, this is still part of this long Brisa. Rabbi Omer kolatzma lohu tzruchanu ela laor ha'ola belvad. Rabbi says, let's take it from a totally different perspective. Meaning, you're trying to figure out where the hides of a carbon ola go. Rebbe says, and you're trying to figure out where the hides of a chatas and an asham go. Rebbe says, there's nothing to figure out. It's all pretty self-evident. Really, the hide is just a tangential form of the meat. Right? It's an accessory to the meat. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you want to know where the hide go? So generally speaking, you just follow the meat. Wherever the meat goes, that's where the hide goes. Generally. Param anistrafim, se'irim anistrafim, hein barosem anistrafim imahem. Yeah, I don't know why I second-guessed myself earlier this morning. Just because I'm wrong very often doesn't mean I need to second-guess myself. So right, right, when you have one of the inner chatos, so the meat of that is burnt, what happens to the hide? Same thing. It's burnt. So chatas v'asham is divchei shlam et sibor matan l'kohen. Ratsu mashitan osam l'ratsu ochlan osam magabi aran. So the chatas and asham, where do the meat go? To the kohanim. Where do the hides go? To the kohanim. It's all pretty straightforward. Kachim kalim l'balim. Ratsu mashitan osam ratsu ochlan osam magabi aran. So, and the same thing with shlamim. Where does the meat go? To the owner. Where do the hides go? To the owner. So in other words, Rebbe says, there's nothing to figure out. You just look at where the meat goes. The only time it becomes confusing is when the meat goes on the Mizbeach, like the case of the Ola. So that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that when the meat goes on the Mizbeach, i.e. it's an Ola, then the Kohanim get the hides. But there's no, I don't need a drusha for a chatas and an asha, because I just follow the meat.
Right,
that's correct. Follow the money. Avaola nemar babi if shita saola and itacho talan tacha yachol lo yakonim zachim ba'or tamalama or olah sheri kriv lo yihya. Okay, and that's why I need the drasha. So Rebbe says the whole purpose of the Torah coming along and telling me is just to tell me where the hides of the carbon olah go, because otherwise I would just simply have said follow the meat
and burn it.
Okay, probably. I'm sorry. And now I read a little bit too far. Or ha'olah sheri kriv lo yiyeh. The Gemara now is going to darshan. Prat l'tful yom v'onein. A tful yom and an onein don't get hides. Sheyachol lo yizku bebaser shu la'achila yizku be'or shein la'achila. Because I might have thought it's a legitimate havamina. Look, I know they're not going to get the meat. They can't eat the meat, so therefore they're not going to get it. But you could have made an argument, okay, they're not going to get the meat, but give them the hides. No one eats the hides. The hides are for a new pair of shoes. So, Tam Alamar, lo yeh, prat le mechusa kippur, mutful yom va'onein. Okay?
Follow the meat again.
Fine.
Right?
What?
You follow the meat again.
Correct. It's right. Is this part of the Bryce a continuation of Rebbe? Sounds the way you just said it, sounds like it's a continuation of Rebbe. Okay. The Tanakama Nami typically Medina, according to the Tanakama. It's a long brisa. Let's just pause for just a moment to organize. It's a long brisa. All three positions in the brisa agree with one another. There's no point of machlokas in this brisa. The Tanakama says the hides go to the Kohanim. Rabbi Shmuel says the hides go to the Kohanim, and Rabbi says the hides of a carbon olah go to the Kohanim. The whole brisa was about process. How do I know that the hides go to the Kohanim? So the Tanakhama learned it out from Pesukim, Rabbi Shmuel learned it out from a Kal v'chomer, and Rabbi said there's nothing to figure out. You just follow the meat. Okay. So Tanakhama, the Gemara now is going to analyze. Tanakhama nami typically medina. So according to the Tanakhama, what's wrong with the Kal v'chomer? Rabbi Shmuel's Kal v'chomer is excellent. So the Gemara says, Mil sadasi be Kal v'chomer tarif v'kas of lei kra. A concept that we see time and again through Shas, and I don't really, if I may be frank with you, I don't really fully understand how this concept works. But you're right; it's a great Kal v'chomer. Sometimes, even though you have a great Kal v'chomer, the Torah still goes out of its way to tell you the halacha. Tarech v'kasav la akra. Torah goes out of its way to tell you anyway. I mean, okay.
Doesn't make sense. Right?
Okay, whatever.
I think the other side is that if it's something is written from Pasuk, it's harder to refute than Kal v'chomer.
Right. Even though we have an example here of an irrefutable Kal v'chomer, right. The Gemara. Okay. Rabbi Yishmael, Hay Asher Hikriv Maya Avilei. Now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, he doesn't darshan, so because he feels a Kal v'chomer is all you need, what does he do with the drasha Asher Hikriv? So he excludes those three things. The tapeklemi lo yiyeh. So the Gemara says, well, if you looked at the end of the brisa, the end of the brisa gets it from lo yiyeh. So Rabbi Shmuel Tamidam, Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Nemar Ba'ola lo yiyeh, v'Nemar Ba'ashem lo yiyeh. Malahalan af mosav mutarim af kan af mosav mutarim. The Gemara says, okay, but he learns it for a different drasha, which is the etzem, the atzmosav, the bones. Bones are mutter. Bones of a carbon ola are mutter. Mofni, and the Gemara points out that it's a strong gzera shava, the ila mofni, ikla mifrech, malashon, shekem, star mutter lo, lo yeh kra yiserehu. Because look, when it comes to the carbon asha, I can understand the bones are going to the Kohanim. The meat's going to the Kohanim. So once the Kohen finishes eating the meat, what does he do with the bones? Takes it home with him. And, new set of dishes. bone dish. But by the Ola, it's certainly more of a Chiddush, right? The meat goes on the Mizbeach. And as we discussed earlier, if the bones are attached to the meat, so the bones have to go up there as well. But once the bones become detached from the meat, so now the Kohanim get to take home the bones as well. Period. Okay, good. That is, Okay, that takes us through the first sugya of the day. Okay, it really comes down to the point. A lot of Gemara, a lot of drushas, a lot of methodology. But as far as the point are concerned, the point are pretty straightforward. When you have a carbon ola, the hides of the carbon ola go to the kohanim. Now, our Mishnah says, this is the important point to remember as we go into the next Mishnah. Our Mishnah says it has to be a qualified carbon. It has to be fit for the Mizbeach. Right? I'm going to reread the important line of the Mishnah. Every line is important. The line of the Mishnah, which is going to take us to the next Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says, Oros Kachim Kalim, no, Oros Kachim Kachim Kalim Kavachomer. Where am I? I just got totally lost. First line of the Mishnah. I'm sorry. Kol shelo zachu mizbeach b'vsara lo zachu kohanim ba'ora. Okay, sorry. Now I'm back. When the mizbeach gets its share, the kohanim gets its share. Okay, that's our Mishnah. We now move on to the next Mishnah. Kol ha-kachim she'ira ben psul kodam lehef sheitam ein arusayim le-kohanim. If you have a carbon where something happened to the carbon, a psul, a disqualification happened to the carbon, before hefshet, before you flay it, ein arusayim le-kohanim, the hides don't go to the kohanim. La'achar hefshetam, but after hefshet, Orosam the Kohanim. The Or goes to the Kohanim. Now, you'll notice this Mishnah seems to go against the previous Mishnah. It seems that way. The previous Mishnah says, what's the critical aspect? As long as it was right for the Mizbeach. Here, what's the critical time? If the Psul takes place before or after Hefshet. Okay? Okay. Yes, it could be and it could be that the two Mishnahs don't conflict whatsoever. Okay, good. 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 I'm just setting ourselves up for the Gemara, but you're correct. I'm Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Meyamai Lo Reisi or Sheyotze LeBeis HaSreifa. So Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim says, look, I testify. He testifies a lot in the Mishnayos. Right? No, I'm serious. You look around and you'll see Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Right, do a search on him. Do an engine search on him, and you'll see that he gives a lot of testimony in terms of what he has seen. Here, it's interesting. Here, he testifies about what I never saw. I never saw the hide get burnt, get disqualified. Nothing never ever saw
happened.
It.
Nothing ever happened to
the meat. Nothing ever happened to the meat.
From tumor, then what?
Never.
It was in the yotzei.
Never saw it. Nothing. Never saw it. Never saw it get disqualified. The Gemara later on will point out, I'm happy you never saw it, but you were in the Mizbeach, you were in the Beis HaMikdash 724? Right. In other words, it gets to a subject which the Gemara will do it tomorrow. The Gemara is going to discuss, right? There's testimony of I saw something, and then there's testimony of, well, I never saw him kill, so he must be that he's not a killer. Right, and that's exactly the Gemara's terminology. Lo reino in araya. Right, it's one of the first discussions that come up in Yoredeya. Right, can women shecht? So one of the arguments posed, I forgot who poses it, is, well, I never saw a woman shecht. Women don't shecht, and I think it's the Shach. I hope I'm quoting correctly. So he says over there, what do you mean, lo reino? Okay, you never saw it, but that doesn't mean anything. Okay. So I'm Rabbi Chanin's going to go on and Miyamai lo reisi or she yotz lo beis ha-treifa. I'm Rabbi Akiva midvar of lamanu she'amav she'el as the b'chor v'nimtza treifa she'yuz o'kone ba'oro. Rabbi Akiva says, let's say you flay a b'chor. And then afterwards it turns out that it's a treifa. B'chor is a treifa, which is possible. So you're going to tell me that the Kohanim now can enjoy the hide because the hide was removed before the psul was discovered.
Obviously,
the rika
was done already.
Hold. The chacham amorim ein lo reino raya ela yotzei lebeis ha-sreifa. And the chachamim say, come on, that's lo reino. All you got out of Chanina's kind of kohanim is he never saw it happen. But that doesn't mean anything. That means he never saw it happen. But in order to give testimony, you have to positively identify of what did happen. All he's saying is, I never saw it happen. That's not enough. That's not enough information for us to come away with a conclusion. Okay. Unfortunately, we'll have to stop over here. I know we're behind. I apologize. All right. We'll make time to catch up. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Gemara, and the Chanan is going to go on. And Mamaratz Kashbaruch Lizakli Sofich Achir Bem Torah Mitzvah Shenema Nechafetz Amansi Kol Yagdil Torah Viyadir.